everybody. It's Stacy from Must Do Disney, and you are in the place to be, the Disney Nerds Podcast. Check it out.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the Magic Worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 263 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. Wow, we're all back from Walt Disney World. We're back from the Disney Nerd Meetups, and we want to tell the story. Before we get into it, though, let's introduce who we have on the show tonight. First, we have Sam. Hey, Sam, how's it going?
It's great, Ed. Thank you so much, and always love to talk about our trips into the magic.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. A little posterity sakes, because then we can kind of move on. Hey, Jimmy, how are you doing?
I am fantastic, thanks.
Good. Nice to have you. Lisa, we have you tonight. How are you?
How you doing tonight, Ed?
Doing well. Doing very good. And we also have Morgan. Hey, Morgan, how you doing?
Hey, guys, let's prolong the magic so I'm not crying because it's over yet.
That's always the way. But what's the biggest cure for that?
Another trip.
That's right.
Exactly.
So start the planning. One of us
already
is actually
in the books.
Lucky enough to be going down very, very quickly. And you have your daughter to blame for that.
I do. Gosh darn it. I have to go back down in a couple of days.
You sound so sad about it.
I know.
You got to do what you got to do. So it's going to be pretty cool. You'll be right in the middle of the holiday season, and you'll see everything full bore. I don't think we actually got to the point where Epcot got fully decorated, really.
It was an interesting time to be there. I mean, it was part Food and Wine Festival and part Christmas over at Epcot. You had all of the booths up for the last weekend, and at the same time, you had the Christmas trees up and the spots where the Santas would be for holidays around the world. It was an interesting time to be there.
Oh, yeah, it was cool. And we'll get to this in a second. Before we do that, though, there was a lot of news announced last week with the Destination D. Or what was the whole event?
That's it. Destination D.
Destination D.
D23, Destination D.
Right. So now there was a bunch of speakers, and there were a number of items mentioned on the upcoming Walt Disney World attractions.
All right. Yeah. If you guys noticed on our website last week, I put up a quick little article about all the awesome announcements at Destination D, which was at Walt Disney World at the Contemporary Resort. The big thing and the main theme of the whole thing was celebrating Mickey Mouse and his 90th birthday. And I got to tell you, that guy looks good for 90 years old.
He does, doesn't he?
I mean, he's got some good skin cream or something. That's what I'm thinking.
You should see him without all the work they've done to him.
Well, speaking of work, you know, that birthday suit that he's wearing, okay, sure.
Yeah, that's a different fashion sense with the shorts and the suit coat.
The 90th birthday, it came straight out of the 90s, I'm thinking, but it's fine. I guess 90s, he's 90. Maybe that was done on purpose. There's an inside joke there.
Maybe, but Minnie's outfit, because you got to remember, Minnie's also 90. It's not just Mickey. Minnie's got a new outfit, too, and she's got, like, pom-poms in her dress. So it's a whole big party outfit for the both of them.
Oh, yeah, but we never discussed the lady's age, so we'll just keep talking Mickey.
Yeah.
Being 90.
That is very true.
But those outfits, they tie right into some of the announcements because there's some birthday bash party going on for Mickey next summer, right?
Yeah, actually, basically, whether or not you are going to be at Disneyland, Disney World, or on Disney Cruise, you are going to be able to celebrate Mickey and Minnie's party. They have a different name for each one. The Disney Cruise and the Disney Fantasy, they're going to call it the Mickey and Minnie Surprise Party at Sea. At Disneyland, beginning January 18th, they're going to have a whole show called Mickey's Mix Magic. And the big announcement part of that is the Mickey's Sensational Parade is coming back to Disneyland. And there's going to be a new float featuring Mickey himself.
That is wonderful news. Anytime, by the way, that I hear the Destination D Expo, it just tells me we're a year away from D23 Expo, because Destination D happens the off year of D23. And this is telling me I get to see Soundstational when I'm out there for D23. That's awesome. And a Mickey float. Love that parade. Can't wait to see it.
Exactly. Now, and of course, for us, since most of us just get to go to Walt Disney World, you're going to have the Mickey and Minnie's surprise celebration over at the Magic Kingdom. And then over at Hollywood Studios, they're going to do a new nighttime experience starting in May called The Wonderful World of Animation for the park's 30th anniversary. And it's going to feature more than 90 years of Disney animation, which, of course, we know all started with the mouse, Mickey himself.
That's right. Although I'm sure we'll see even Mortimer in there. So awesome.
We could. That would be cool. And I hear that particular nighttime animation is going to replace the movie magic that happens there on a nightly basis today. So this doesn't impact any fireworks. This is something new, and I can't wait to see this. And by the way, it'll be there just in time to be projected onto Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railroad. So that's all kind of cool, right?
That is. And they even talked a little bit about the railroad, but there wasn't a lot of big announcements when it came to that particular ride. They talked a lot about Epcot, though, which, of course, we know from a couple shows ago, you know, me, Sam, and Ed, we talked a little bit about the rumors. So the Remy ride now has an official name. It's going to be the Remy's Ratatouille Adventure.
Nice.
Ed, is that the same as Paris?
You know, I want to say it is, but I'd have to look back again and make sure. It does sound pretty close.
Works for me, sure.
Hey, guys, this is Ed, and this is during editing. I'm just kind of poking my nose in real quick. Actually, the Paris ride is called Ratatouille the Adventure. So it's close, but not exactly the same name. So pretty cool. Back to the show.
And then France is not just getting Remy. They are going to get a Beauty and the Beast sing-along, which is created by the producer who did both the animated and the live-action Beauty and the Beast.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I saw that. Don Hahn.
Yep.
That was pretty cool.
And a lot of people worried it's not going to replace Impressions de France.
Now, the way it made it sound, it seemed like it was going to share the theater, but I don't know how that could be.
I think you're right, Ed. I think it's one of those things where you may see one during the day and one in the evening. And when I kind of thought about it a little bit, I thought, well, you know, during the morning, you're kind of going through there maybe with the kids. You do Beauty and the Beast sing along through the day. And then during the night, you switch to Impressions de France, which is the classic, or who knows what they're going to do.
They could alternate it like they do with the Beauty and the Beast show over at Hollywood Studios with the Pixar, the sounds of Pixar. They would do one and then the other, and they would alternate.
Well, they wouldn't go back and forth. They'd sort of do one through the day and one later, because I think at that point you have a staffing issue, right? You got people sitting around.
I thought the times were offset at Beauty and the Beast. They'd do Beauty and the Beast, and a little while later they would do
a number.
But I'm not 100%.
And if I want to say anything, I think I remember it being Pixar being the latter part of the day, like for maybe 4 o'clock on throughout closing.
It could be.
Check your times guide, I think, is what we're saying.
Sure.
Sam, don't you have a map in your pocket somewhere?
I have a map, yes, but I don't have any. Yeah.
So now that I created that sound effect for the fairy dust, I'm going to keep on using it. This is Ed again. Real quick, it was the case where it was Beauty and the Beast during the daytime and then Pixar Music Live at night. So there you go. Back to the show. Ding. Now, the sing-along definitely sounds like what they're doing over at Hollywood Studios for Frozen. So hopefully it'll be just as interactive as that.
I think it'll be interesting.
And if it is, that would actually be pretty cool. Because, you know, that sing-along for Frozen is pretty funny with the historians.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. That makes the whole show. Could
they get away with the same thing with Beauty and the Beast?
Sure. I think if you made like Lumiere and Cogsworth, like the place of the historians, like they do in Frozen, like them kind of riffing off each other. Well, Cogsworth being the straight edge guy, but that could be interesting.
They could also be animated on screens as opposed to being live people on stage.
People like to poke fun at Frozen. I don't know if you could get away with the same thing with Beauty and the Beast. But it'd be interesting.
And with the Broadway option of it, it definitely could be live.
True.
Cool. So now, what other updates did we get out of Epcot? Because you're right, there was a couple.
Well, they did mention the O Canada 360 show in Canada. It's going to get an update.
I'm still waiting for the China update.
I was about to say the same thing.
I know. I was just going to say the same thing.
Yep. Which they didn't talk about that during Destination D. So hopefully they're going to be they'll do both. You know, honestly, both of them, as we know, need an update. So hopefully they'll both get the update.
I like Canada, though. I like Martin Short. I really do.
We just saw it just this past trip, but I want to say the same exact thing. I think it's great.
I think it's timeless. I love the, I got to get out of here. I have a Soarin' Fast Pass. I just love that.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Any new updates on the Guardians of the Galaxy?
There is, but I don't want to skip one of the, bigger announcements for Epcot.
Yes. Go for it.
Okay. So we got details for that new nighttime show for Epcot, which of course we know means, Jimmy, get your Kleenex out. Illumination's going away. So the new nighttime show is planned to open in 2020. It's going to celebrate Disney music and how the music inspires people around the world. They described it as it's going to have huge floating set pieces. It's going to have custom-built LED panels, choreographed moving fountains, lights, pyrotechnics, lasers. So this is the one that is going to basically replace Illuminations. But as we know, there's going to be a gap there. They're going to do a limited time show after Illuminations goes away and before this new Disney music-inspired nighttime show comes around. They're going to call it Epcot Forever. It's going to debut in the fall next year. So like I said, after Illuminations goes away. It's going to feature classic Epcot tunes, and they're describing it as beginning with a spark of imagination that swells into an epic spectacular of fireworks, music, lighting, lasers, and special effects.
Figment show.
I know. I heard spark of imagination, and immediately that song was playing in my head.
Sure. Epcot Forever just yells classic Epcot. And I think
I guarantee you'll hear If You Can Dream It.
You're going to hear them all here.
There you go.
So if you think about what they're doing here, we know they've got this huge thing coming. It's a major renovation. They're going to have to drain parts of that lake. They're going to put in new LED panels and all kind of cool stuff. It's going to take 6 months to do that or longer. So they had to do something in the meantime. And based on what we're all saying here about this Epcot Forever show, I can't wait to see that one. That's going to be awesome if you have all those classic Epcot tunes, all kind of with, you know, some fireworks, some music, some lighting. It's not going to be the end result because they're not going to have time to get the fountains and things in. Right. But special effects kites, Ed? What do you think? We talked about drones not long ago, huh?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. It's going to be interesting to see it as it goes along. And you're right, with the construction going on, they obviously have this show because it's going to be probably easy
enough
to...
You can't do nothing, right?
Yeah, and it should be easy enough to kind of go in between the construction with this, a tailored show. Hopefully it'll be good. You kind of think back to the Animal Kingdom when they had that one show that came in there for a little while before the Rivers of Light right now.
Jungle Book.
So hopefully it isn't more of that type of stopgap. This is a lot more thought. But based on that description, there's lasers. So how can it be bad?
Well, remember that stopgap was a last minute, oh my God, we need something. Rivers of Light isn't working. This is let's plan something out because we know we have 6 to 8 months we have to fill. And I think this is awesome. But even further, if you look at what they're saying about that 2020 show, Ed, huge floating set pieces. That's everything we talked about in that Epcot show and the puppets that were floating underneath of the drones. And they got some big thoughts on what's going to happen here.
I can't wait to see it.
Well, also when they talk about the choreographed moving fountains, if you look at that artist rendering that we were talking about during that Epcot Rumors episode, there were fountains in the lagoon now. So
that look a lot like the fountains over at Rivers of Light with the way the projections on it. Hopefully it's better than that. I'm sure it will be.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, especially with the LED panels out there, I can imagine that being a very, very intricate part of it. where you'll have whole scenes lit up.
I can't, you know, all of this said, I'm actually looking forward to Illuminations ending and getting to this other stuff. And I think that's exactly the reaction Disney wanted from us, right, especially as fans. Epcot forever. I mean, they're giving us an Epcot 35 show every night for, I will definitely be there.
I was thinking that's going to be the novelty. The 6 months of being able to get down there to see that show would be pretty cool.
Yes.
Hopefully. We're all going to have to plan a trip just to make sure we get that show a couple of times, not just once.
Well, I'm hoping that it goes through the meet next year, right? Because if you're not open until 2020, I'm thinking most of 2019's going to be this Epcot forever.
Yeah. And they do say fall, and, you know, fall can be August or on, so.
Yeah,
December.
It's cool. Anyway, you look at it, I'm looking forward to both of these cool things.
Yeah, no doubt. So what else? What other announcements do we have, because we want to get onto the show?
Well, they did announce a new DVC called Reflections, Lakeside Lodge, which looks like it's going to be kind of go along with that Wilderness Lodge vibe, nice relaxing by the lake. So they did talk about that. It's going to have more than 900 hotel rooms. And, of course, you've got Disney Vacation Home Villas with that.
This is at the old River Country, right?
Yep.
Yeah, there we go.
And then they also showed us the gondolas.
The unair-conditioned gondolas.
The unair-conditioned Disney Skyliner gondolas. They're going to be running fall 2019.
That's pretty soon.
Yep.
Nice. That's going to be actually
perfect. That's less than a year.
Yeah,
we're going to send Sam up in a test run, and he can come back and let us know.
Not in the summer.
It'll be fall 2019, so that'll be when we're down there. I'll let you borrow my portable fan. It's going to be interesting to see how it goes. I'm still unsure how people can survive without air conditioning, but the air is conditioned. It's just not chilled.
It's air circulation.
It's circulated. It's not conditioned.
Okay, but it moves.
It circulates. So
As long as the thing's moving, I'm guessing.
Right.
And I think there's going to be fans built in that's going to circulate the air. And then also what they're saying is there's some type of reflective film that's going to be on the windows that supposedly helps it prevent it from getting too warm in there.
Yeah, it's going to be like a window tint.
Oh, I'm sure they have some thoughts on keeping it cool. Now, kind of tying into our trip down there, there were massive, massive amounts of construction based on this gondola system to the point where it's just like walls and construction everywhere. But it looks so cool, very modernistic, and I just can't wait till it gets ready and done.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm definitely going to hop on and ride once, right? Just to do it.
Yeah. We'll see.
Well, if you're staying at one of those resorts, it might be your only choice.
Yep.
It might be worth it just to take it to the resort anyway from wherever.
Well, you have to take some other transportation because there's no buses, right?
I don't think they'll cut the buses.
No,
I don't. We'll discuss that later. Think about Swan and Dolphin and Yacht and Beach. You can't take a bus to Studios or to Epcot. Yeah, you have to take a boat unless the boats are down.
You can walk from there, and then the boats move way more people than these things are going to move.
It'll be interesting to see. Think Polly. You can't take a bus from the Polly to Magic Kingdom. You got to get the monorail.
You can't anymore?
But the difference between the Polly and, like, for example, Caribbean Beach is that if you're staying in Trinidad and Tobago in Caribbean Beach, you're going to take a bus up front to the
gondola.
Skyliner stop. The Skyliner doesn't come directly to your pod of hotel rooms.
Yeah, right, so you probably will take the bus up to it.
It'll be interesting. We'll see.
And I don't think these gondola Skyway is going to be able to move the amount. I mean, a friendship boat hauled 100 people.
Yeah. So the concern that I would have is, you look at that big tower they're building at Caribbean Beach. That's 15 stories of people, and they're all going to be coming down elevators and getting on a gondola.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see it.
Maybe they still do run by the gondolas for the DVC location, and they run the buses for the rest of the Caribbean Beach. Who knows? Speculation.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to replace anything. It's just in addition to transportation.
Which is good.
Now, of course, the major announcements at Destination D were, of course, about Star Wars Galaxy Edge, in my opinion.
Yep.
Those are the big ones.
Always.
So
attractions have the names.
We have names. We have names of two of the major attractions. One major attraction is going to be called Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run. And it's described as putting guests behind the controls of the Millennium Falcon in one of three unique flight roles. And they did have a video, which I did put the link on, just like a kind of a quick, like kind of a teaser, because it doesn't really give you like the exact in and outs, but it is a little nice little teaser to keep you excited.
Right. I wonder if they're going to have you do the same things like in Mission Space. Everybody has their mission, so you're going to hit the button or do something.
I was about to say, there's another attraction where you're in a unique position of one of four roles.
Of being able to be either successful or fail. Right. The worst thing is to have the recording saying on, hey, we pushed it
override.
So,
override.
Yeah, the computer does.
And that ties in, before we get away from the Falcon game, or from the Falcon attraction, that ties into the whole idea where they said they're going to track you with your bands. And mm-hmm. if you do well or you do bad, that's going to stick with you for the rest of the day.
More important, if you're staying in the hotel, it's going to track you back there.
True.
I feel like I'm now like going to be graded once I go into Star Wars Galaxy's Edge now.
Yeah, I hope so.
But this,
it's going to be on your magic band, and it's going to yell out your score when you scan it to go in the next park.
Yeah,
loser.
Crash the Falcon.
Loser.
I'll be in the back. You guys can drive. But the the second attraction is going to be called Star Wars Rise of the Resistance. It is going to put guests in the middle of the battle between the Resistance and the First Order. And again, we have a link to like the little teaser that they showed there. So that will be interesting to see. And I want to know if you get to choose. Do you get to be the First Order or the Resistance?
I don't know. Be interesting to go either way.
Do we know what type of attraction this is going to be? It's going to be virtual reality. I wonder if this is kind of what they were testing over at The Void.
This is the one that we saw attraction, a ride vehicles of at D23 last year. It's the one that I compared to a Spider-Man type attraction with the screens and the moving car.
Gotcha.
But I don't know.
And not to skip rides real quick, but the Guardians of the Galaxy announcement, they came out with rides of the vehicle, or I'm sorry, pictures
we
of the vehicles.
We saw pictures of the vehicles, yeah.
Which... Yeah. Kind of look like the same thing you are now talking about in that they move around and they spin, but they spin the face screens or they spin the face specific parts of the attraction as you're going through it. But not spin like out of control, spin very controlled as the roller coaster is moving around.
Just so you can see what they want you to see, kind of to build the story.
Right.
Which
right.
is cool.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what Spider-Man does.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah.
And we got names. That's awesome. It's still the Millennium Falcon ride and a First Order ride, and that's cool. Love it.
Yep, and they did also talk about the resort. They said it was going to be a fully immersive multi-day experience. Some rumors that I heard from undisclosed sources is it was going to be a minimum 3-day experience that you can do to be a part of the Star Wars world. It's going to be the moment you board your launch pod, you are in the Star Wars galaxy, complete with high-end dining, space view cabins, and other authentic Star Wars experiences.
Now, you are boarding a cruise ship, for lack of a better example. You have a 3-day itinerary. You pay for that itinerary. You check in, and then your 3 days are all based on, like, if you were on a cruise. You have meals, you have experiences, you have excursions that are going to take you into Galaxy's Edge. This is pretty fascinating what they're thinking about coming up with here.
Now, this also kind of goes to the point we made a couple weeks ago when we talked about going to Walt Disney World and not paying for a full-day ticket for some things, or being able to go into the park and not going on attractions. If I'm going to the hotel for 3 days and I'm supposed to spend all the time in the hotel, I'm hoping not to spend any money on the tickets then for the park, if that's going to be the case.
I would think you're spending 3 days in the hotel and in Galaxy's Edge.
Right, and you can go into Galaxy's Edge where you can't get out of Galaxy's Edge, which is cool, but that sounds
if
like
that's
perfect
what you want.
Yeah,
and I do it.
Was there an announcement about the location of the new hotel?
There was a while back, yeah.
Originally, it was supposed to be kind of right next to... To Galaxy's Edge, but it's my understanding that it's now moved.
When we were, I'm pretty sure, no, it was still there because you can enter the park from there. Plus, our bus driver on the way in one morning showed us where they were breaking ground on it. And it seemed like it was under, I'm trying to think direction-wise in my head as far as, I want to think the southern part of Hollywood Studios, but I'd have to look at the map again where Galaxy's Edge is. That's on the north.
I may have gotten bad information, but it was from a Uber driver who was a cast member. He said that it's not going to be connected, that was the original plan, mm-hmm. but that plan has changed, and that was one of the reasons they're moving around the entrances and stuff like that around studios.
Ooh, that's a big thing right now, is that it was going to be attached, so I hope that's the case.
It's not attached like you walk out into it, but you walk into some type of a transit that's going to take you right over to it. And when I think that, and I hate to bring it up again, but I'm thinking about the train that goes between the two spots over at Universal, right? The Harry Potter stuff,
right?
Where you get in this and it kind of takes you off and you got the screens inside space the train, and you're moving, you're flying.
You're in a transport or something, yeah. That'd be interesting.
And so it's not physically attached, but it is attached, if you know what
but
I mean.
But that very much me what he was talking about, because I think originally we thought that it would be physically, like you would walk out of the hotel into Galaxy's Edge, basically.
Well, they were advertising it like Disneyland or Disneyland Paris, where you basically walk into the hotel into the park. You have your own private entrance.
I think that's changed. I think Sam's probably right on that.
Well, we'll have to see.
There's a lot that's changed about this, right? And you mentioned I might have got bad information from the Uber guy. It might not have been bad. It's just when he had it, because for a while there, people were swearing you were going to be staying in the Death Star. And now we know that's not the case now, because they decided if you stay in the Death Star, you're at a specific point in time in the Star Wars universe. And they didn't want to do that.
It was funny because that night we were leaving studios, and that was the night I went and meet Ed over at Yeehaw Bob. Yeah. And the first Uber I got lost. I had to cancel him because he kept going the wrong way. So I had to cancel it and order another one. And this guy pulled right up and said, yeah, they just changed us last night. And he was telling me about the whole layout. I mean, he really sounded like he was informed and knew what he was talking about. So, I asked him, and he was a cast member. So he knew more about it.
That ties into our trip report, because we were there the day they moved the entrance, and we'll get there. Let's get through these changes, and then that takes us right to the trip.
Yep.
Well, I mean, that's really the last announcement from Destination D. They did talk about also concerning Star Wars Galaxy's Edge that the composer John Williams is creating new and original Star Wars themes exclusive to Star Wars Galaxy's Edge.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. And they're online already, too. Awesome. You can listen to it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I have a link on the article on our website. And the video and the music is great, because the video kind of goes over shots of Galaxy's Edge, both Disneyland and Walt Disney World, the progress. Plus, you just got that great John Williams music. Because, I mean, what's Star Wars without his music?
Right. Oh, no doubt.
Love it.
Yep. Okay, well, that's some great news. And I tell you what, over the next couple weeks, I'm sure we're going to hear a lot more details about these items, and we'll bring them to you. So now, let's get into our trip report. As you know, we were in Walt Disney World for our Disney Nerds meetups, our fifth annual, and it was a blast. A lot of us got down there early, and we all kind of coordinated and started meeting up around Thursday, where we all started finding everybody. I think Jimmy might have been down there first. Anything stick out in those first bunch of days before everybody else started showing up?
God, it was hot.
We did catch the big hot week again. The week before it was cool. The week after us was cool, and we got the big hot one.
It's crazy, huh?
You say hot, Jimmy, but I believe you bought a sweatshirt and some other stuff on your first day, didn't you?
I did not buy a sweatshirt, but our first day was the first day we got there was actually very chilly, but that was the only chilly day we had, and then our last day was fairly nice. But in between those two brackets, those two bookends, it was pretty hot the whole week.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't out of the 80s, but
it wasn't miserable.
Yeah, definitely doable, but a little bit uncomfortable. However, Disney World, that really doesn't matter much. There's always air conditioning within another 20 feet.
Yeah, that's true.
Just not in there, never mind.
Now, Lisa, I think, got down there next. And
nope,
Morgan.
I did.
Okay, Morgan got down there next. And where did you actually, and as we go through, where'd you guys stay again?
I stayed in one of our value group rooms over at All Star Sports.
Sports, gotcha. Yep.
I got there, like, I think the day after Jimmy. I stayed off property during the week and then checked into sports for the meetup.
Then it was Lisa.
Yep, I arrived on Tuesday afternoon after a minor delay in my flight. And we were at All Star Sports as well with Jimmy.
Very cool. And I think I got down there next. And this is, we're getting closer to the actual weekend. I got down there Wednesday night with Quinn. We stayed at the Pop Century for our trip down there. And I actually just want to give a little shout out to the Touring Plans. We used their service as far as planning our room out, and it was right spot on the exact room we chose.
I want to double that. I was pretty darn close to the room that we requested.
I wasn't even close. But it's because, and I found out why, it's because when you book in the group, the priority is to keep you with your group, not the request.
Oh, that makes sense.
Interesting.
Can't your whole group go with you?
I was so busy before that I forgot to send in a request, so it didn't matter.
But you ended up right close to me.
Well, the group.
And that was, two doors down.
Yeah.
So that worked out well.
Yeah.
And then Sam got down there last.
I got down there just after you did there, Ed, on Thursday. Did I get there Wednesday or Thursday? I don't even remember now.
I think you got there Thursday, but it might have been Wednesday night late. You went to the outlet.
Yes, definitely. My first trip every time. I always land, I head right to the outlet. I see what I can grab some good stuff there. And then I stayed off site this time because I had some points I needed to use, and that worked out well.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool. So our first kind of, I guess, loose meetup was over at Yeehaw Bob's, which was pretty cool. And Bob's always a good show. And this one was pretty cool because it was not that crowded.
Not at all.
That's cool.
We got there right at the end of, I guess, the 8 to 9 set. And we kind of got there right at the end of that. Mm-hmm. And once that set ended, we were able to move right up front. And the table next to us, which was actually a smaller table, but was right in front, stayed empty the whole time.
Yeah, no, it was a perfect setup. Bob did some great sets. Really, really fun time.
Always.
That's true. That is one of those consistencies. And I tell you what, something else that ties into Bob's show was that earlier on that week, when Jimmy was kind of tooling around waiting for the rest of us to show up, he was over at the Rose and Crown. And they got some great, great video and audio of the piano lady, Carol Stein. And seeing Carol Stein and seeing Yeehaw Bob Jackson, that's just great. Two great stars at Disney World.
Always.
Two great stars that don't cost you anything extra, really.
Thinking exactly that too, Jimmy.
No doubt. And they've been at the parks forever. True legacies, definitely.
They're staples of the parks, in my opinion.
Yeah, pretty much.
Now, while you guys were seeing Yeehaw Bob Jackson, I missed that because I was at Mickey's Christmas party.
That's right. It was the first Christmas party, was it not?
It was.
And didn't they have what did they do live that night?
The Disney Parks blog live streamed the lighting of the castle by Queen Elsa.
Right, and I think we kind of did something for the first time ever in that we live streamed the live streaming of an event.
Just in case they've missed it on the live
behind the scenes,
you watch it on the live
stream. Right.
which actually also brings us up to another point in that everything going on this week was also kind of, I guess, shadowed a little bit because they were doing the filming for the holiday show at the different parks while we were down there.
I only saw them at Magic Kingdom. Were there other places too?
Epcot, they definitely had it set up around the fountain and by Spaceship Earth. And I was wondering if they had anything set up for the holiday show, for the party.
I actually was on the second floor of the train station. That's where I live streamed holiday wishes for us on our Facebook page that night. And they were set up there for the Parks blog live stream. But once they finished that live stream, they dismantled and they were gone. So for the parades and the stuff for the Christmas recordings, they were not up there, at least where I was, for the party.
Gotcha.
They also did Animal Kingdom recordings as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. At the Magic Kingdom, they were set up mainly in the hub in front of the castle, where you had all the different equipment and lights and stuff like that. What did we see? We saw Epcot. I want to say it was Friday night coming out of there. Or maybe it was Thursday night. Either way, we saw a band. Quinn knew who it was. I didn't know who it was. One of the Disney teen stars.
But, yeah, I don't know who that is.
Yeah. But when you do see the show from Epcot, the band singing underneath Spaceship Earth, that's the one we met.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And that night was actually the Thursday or the Friday was the first night of the Hollywood Studios Christmas thing. So I did get over to Toy Story Land to check that out the first night.
I didn't get to Toy Story Land, but I did live stream Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam that night. And
which is good.
First time I get to see it in person. Last year, somebody was down last year and live streamed it. Maybe it was Morgan. Morgan, you were there, weren't you?
Not Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam, but I did get to record the Sunset Season's Greetings, the Flurry of Fun.
Yeah, the show, same Hollywood place, Studios different got some name. Good stuff going on.
It was pretty cool. First time I got to see that in person, so yeah, nice. I quite enjoyed it.
That was Thursday night. That was Thursday.
Yeah, that was Thursday night. That's when I took the Uber from Studios that night to go meet you with Bob.
Right. And it was funny because real quick story here to throw in. You mentioned about how you got your Uber driver couldn't find you and you had to get a different one. I got to give him a little bit of an excuse. There was a lot of different routes set up over the course of the days we were there, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, because they were starting to string the cable for the gondola, for the Skyliner. And I guess when they do that, they have to close the roads down in case anything falls. So it was kind of an odd thing where I was going back. And I guess this had to be Saturday night because it was coming back from the Magic Kingdom and it was late because the park was open at 1 o'clock Saturday night and we made it till about midnight because you know what? It never got lighter. The crowd stayed pretty heavy all night. So anyway, we went back. It took us 50 minutes to get to the Pop from Magic Kingdom. It was the craziest ride because our bus driver actually kind of got lost and it was just a fun ride because it was funny. First of all, Quinn and I were standing right behind her. So we were standing in the bus right there. It was a packed bus, very, very full. And we're getting down to the bottom of World Drive. And I'm like, we're going to get on I-4 soon, aren't we? And Quinn was like, yeah, I think so. So she missed our exit. And we did the turnaround. We ended up going through the Hollywood Studios parking lot at one point, where because it was so late, it was closed. She stopped the bus, moved the cones, went through the toll collector, and did a U-turn inside the lot. We ended up coming out and hitting the Caribbean Beach Hotel, going through the back lot and then into the Pop Century from behind. So it took us a while, but we did get there. But what it goes to show is that, hey, guess what? Pay attention to the messages. They did have messages at the Pop on the phones mentioning about how you're going to definitely have some issues with construction and road closures. I didn't think to pay attention because I figured the bus drivers would have it known or they would know what they're doing. At one point, I actually had my maps on my phone open up, helping her out.
That's also the day that they changed the traffic pattern into the parking lot.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. And I stayed off site, so I drove. And wow, it was amazing the way that we got into Hollywood Studios. And the best way I could describe it, and I'm not sure if you guys had noticed this, but they built new bus stations, and you guys all know about that, the new bus terminal within the old parking lot of Hollywood Studios. And now they've completely separated traffic so that all of the buses come in one way and the cars come into the parking lot a completely different way. A lot like Animal Kingdom.
That's what I was going to say. I tell you what, I just put a video up on our YouTube channel that showed me walking from the entrance of Hollywood Studios to the Pop Century bus stop. Because, and I'm hoping it's going
to
be changed.
Did you walk
soon.
To the boardwalk?
No, we didn't go all the way there. We went to the...
almost, though. I'm saying yeah. The bus stop.
Well, that's what I'm
far,
saying.
Isn't it?
We got to the point where they had the sign saying this is the way to go to Epcot way, way out there. And I tell you what, while we were waiting for our bus, we did see a couple Uber drivers kind of like doing circles. They didn't know where the hell to go. So they were definitely having issues there. But yeah, definitely check that video out because I don't usually post something of just walking But it was a 7-minute walk from the entrance of the park to the bus stop itself. And to give you an idea, we timed walking through the Polynesian one time from one end to the other to where the monorail was at the Ticket and Transportation Center. It was only like 4 or 5 minutes walking the entire Polynesian property. And this was that much longer. But to tell you that the bus stops are going to be incredible and the Skyliner is going to be incredible, the stop they have there, it's an understatement. It is a beautiful, beautiful set of buildings they have going up. However, until it's done, get ready to walk at the Hollywood Studios before you even get in the park.
Yeah, leaving that Thursday night was a mess. If you think about it, they had the old bus stops completely surrounded by construction walls. And they had construction walls around where the Skyliner's being built. So everybody funneled into this tiny little bottleneck that was just, it's temporary because the old buses are going to be completely gone. And I think they really redo security there at some point. Mm-hmm. They have some options there. It'll be interesting.
Oh, yeah.
No, but it's, like you said, when it's done, it's going to be great.
Yep. Okay, guys. Well, the idea of this trip was basically our meetups. And we had some great ones. We had our half sample-thon on Friday night. And then we had our scavenger hunt on Saturday. Now, the half sample-thon went really, really cool. We met everybody in Mexico at about 5:30. And it was the perfect place to meet because we met in front of the margarita stand. And how perfect can that be?
Which makes it perfect.
It was a great place to meet.
And once we basically hung out about a half hour, gathered ourselves a group, we moved on. This year was really cool. We had some awesome, awesome lanyards that Jimmy put together for us with some like awesome sample-thon placards. We had pins for trading that we were able to give everybody out, and everybody had a little fun time with that and cast members. As we were traveling, just like last year, we had some awesome trivia from Morgan, keeping everybody on their toes with all that information.
Hey, Epcot, you got to learn some things too, you know?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. That's the way it is.
It was good.
I just sent some great pictures that Adi had taken kind of as we gathered in the beginning. So I sent those to Morgan. We'll get those to you guys so maybe you guys can include it in the show notes.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We made our way around to America. We listened to the Hooters, which was pretty cool in that they played about 8 songs, and we knew one. And I'm talking even from a guy who likes the Hooters. And it is pretty funny how they played. They even did a cover of some other band at one point because everybody was like, "We know this song." Well, it's not their song.
Yeah.
And then they did their final. The last song of their set was the song everybody knew. And then the oddest thing happened at Epcot because it was about 8:45, and it seemed like everybody left because that night the fireworks were going to be at 10:00, and for some reason it seemed like everybody had their mind set at 9:00. And when they didn't start at 9:00, everybody just started dispersing. Do you guys notice that this time around? It was like just there's nobody there once the fireworks started.
Which was great to hit some food booths because there were no lines.
Right.
And they were still open. That was the best part.
Right, exactly.
Well, yeah, because we were still in America by the planter. And I ran over to the food booth in America. I was like, I got to grab some food real quick before they close. I'm like, no, we're open until 10:00, so...
They were open till 10:00. That's the food and wine festival, 10:00 on Fridays and Saturdays. And that was awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I think it was kind of – there were a couple of things that made it that way. Like at 9:00, the place seemed to empty almost. And I think some of that was last weekend of food and wine festival. You have a lot of locals coming out and grabbing dinner and leaving. And maybe Illuminations doesn't keep people like it used to.
True. True.
I think you get a new show out there, and I think it's packed until 10:00.
Yep, it was fun. Food-wise, I'm trying to think of anything that majorly stuck out again this year. Hawaii always sticks out as being a great, great booth, and that was good this year. The pork belly still has not lost it yet.
The piggy wings?
Yes, we did that twice.
Oh, up at Active Eats or up in the front there, that was good. Yep. I did have those.
And actually, a couple of those stands right next to where the Light Lab was were really good. That fire and what was that one called? The fire and something, which was really good place too.
Flavors from Fire.
Yes. So yeah, definitely good this year food-wise. It's amazing how it's really kind of cool to do some of the things you really like, but then it's always nice to try some new stuff.
It's cool talking about Christmas and food and wine at the same time. I kind of like that.
Yeah, no, that was as one of the perfect times of the year. That does cover a lot right then and there.
I didn't get a pork belly.
No.
I just thought about that.
Oh.
I missed Ireland.
You know, Ireland was on my list to do the mead, and I did not get there. You're right about that.
I got the sausage in September.
Yeah. I wanted to get the Bailey's shake that a lot of people are talking about, and normally, just because I always have to hit the Ireland and the Greece booth every year, I got Greece, and I didn't get to Ireland this year.
They had it in a cool glass, too, that little shake or whatever that was. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I wanted the glass.
It was like goblet-ish type of, without the stem type thing. It was really nice.
I got in the line for the Greece booth because I saw a gyro nachos, and then I'm in line and Kim's like, Jenny, those are vegan gyro nachos.
out of the line he left.
It ruined me. I got it right on the line. I'm like, I'm not eating the damn vegan gyro nachos.
I had a pancake milkshake at the Taste Track up by Test Track.
That was interesting. I had that twice this year, and I thought it was great. Yeah.
Did it taste like batter? Interesting. Did it taste like cooked pancakes or batter?
It actually tastes like vanilla.
Oh, okay.
It tastes a little like birthday cake, I thought. But
yeah, a little, yes. Oh,
yeah, okay.
It was good.
I would say in a good way or a bad way, though?
In a good way. It was funny.
I did notice the Light Lab changed one of their drinks from the beginning of the year to what it is now. They had and it was one of the cool things I looked for as far as you look for like something to take home with you. They had a drink they made in a beaker. It was three levels of different flavors or whatever it was, and I guess it lit up differently too when you had it under the different lights. It ended up actually changing to a flight, so they had them in three different cups that you were able to sample from then on. So I guess they ran out of the beakers.
They ran out of the beakers, and they ran out of them very early on because when we went in September, it was the flight.
Yeah, and I figured that had to be as much because they had it on the menus as being the flight. I mean, there was no mention of the beakers anymore at all. I tell you,
that was. One cool thing, Ed, talking about just the different bottles and stuff like that, is that first night we met up with you, we went to the Edison, and we got those shots.
Oh, right. We went to some pretty cool things over at the Edison, and what was the name of that? Is it Enzo's or the Italian place?
Enzo's Hideaway.
We walked through Enzo's Hideaway to get
cool. Oh, there's so many cool things. You guys have to check out those secret passages. I'm not going to ruin it or tell you where they were, but definitely fun. And then, yeah, right, as soon as we got into the Edison, they had a drink girl walking around, or a shot girl.
A pixie.
And right, exactly. It was actually like the pixie from Moulin Rouge. You think of that with the absinthe and stuff like that. Well, anyway, she had shots in little, like, medicine bottles. And corking the top and different colors, and it was pretty good. You know, there was like a margarita type of shot and a couple other things. But Quinn was with us, and, you know, he's just turned 21, so it was kind of cool. He was having a good time. And then we had the bacon. I couldn't believe we get to Disney World. The first thing we have after, like, traveling all day is we have five pieces of bacon that are just hanging there on a stick little setup. And the only reason we got it is because Sam said you got to get the bacon if you get the Edison.
Oh, the bacon's amazing.
It is crazy how that comes out. I thought it was going to be something at least – the pork belly, give you beans and
it's
stuff.
Good stuff.
This literally was a piece of bacon with clothespins that you use to hold on to it. And you figured it out that you had to use the extra clothespin to grab the piece of bacon, and then you release the one that was hanging it from the top part.
That's a trip that only happens with your dad. That trip doesn't happen with your mom. You don't go get to Disney World with your mom and have shots and bacon. Like, the first things you get is, like,
right,
three shots from a scantily dressed fairy and some bacon.
That was the perfect start of the trip. Okay, and actually moving on, we had our scavenger hunt on Saturday, and it was a blast. We had a good time. We all met up at Animal Kingdom at about 10:30, and we started out with about 10 separate teams. However, what we decided to do was, and with the team's cooperation, because there was a couple of two-man teams or single-person teams, we kind of mixed them all together. So we ended up, I think, with seven teams or eight teams total. And it was really, really, really fun time. And everybody seemed to do really well on the scavenger hunt. Didn't get everything, We have.
Can I interrupt you for a second?
I'm sorry.
I was gonna. I just shared my screen there. This tweet WDW News just put up. A firework went into the crowd at Epcot today.
Oh no!
There's a video of it. Look at that. That's tonight. I don't know if you can see it or not. But wow. Well,
that'll get rid of illuminations, right?
Hey, that's...
Well, you know, okay. Yeah. And that actually brings up a small point, too, is that when we were walking out of Illuminations, we didn't wait till the end of it in America. We actually started walking out. And as we're passing England, the globe went out. And it was out for maybe about 10, 15 seconds as we were walking around there. And then it finally came back on. And I think one of the comments I made is like, wow, yeah, it must be going away because it's starting to get a little bit, like, ragged. Like, and, well, there you go.
Not investing any more money into it.
Yeah, maybe. And then the firework into the crowd.
Yeah, that's no fun.
If we could circle back to the scavenger hunt for a second.
Oh, yeah.
We had a obviously great participation, but I do really want to call out one of the teams, the Florida Hoodats. I happened to score their sheet, and Ed, maybe you can share, because I know not all of our listeners were at the meetup, but I will say one of the questions was in reference to what we called the Dinoland cast members.
Right.
So in Dinosaur, they're not called cast members, they're called interns, correct?
Cousins or interns. There's two different cast members.
Yep. So where were they? What was the question?
Well, the question kind of centered around how the cast members in Dinoland are known as either cast members or interns. So I wanted the people to tell me, well, which part of the park they work in if they were a cousin, or which part of the park, part of that area of the park they worked in if they were an intern. And it was actually kind of, yeah, I guess, easy to figure out, but you could ask cast members. Some might have remembered.
Yes, and for the Florida Hoodats, you put the area, and we had to say whether or not they were a cousin or an intern, and instead they put in the names of the actual cast members that were there.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it was great. So the Dinosaur cast member was Kelsey. And the carnival cast member was Zion. I had to turn and go, wait, what? I mean, it looks clever, but that's not what we were looking for.
Right, right. Oh, that was pretty cool. No, I did not know that. Yeah, we did run into a cast member at one point as we started out while people were out doing the scavenger hunt. And we were happy to hear that they already hit him up for information. What was even cooler was that they actually told him something he did not know. So that was kind of cool. There is actually a picture of Chester and Hester in the Donald's Restaurosaurus, the old McDonald's place, which he didn't realize that. There was a lot of good information we got from the scavenger hunt. I love doing it because I learned so much. Going back to what Lisa was saying as far as the cousins were the guys who ran the Dinoland Carnival, because they were Chester and Hester's cousins, relatives, basically people they trusted to run that. The interns were working at the Dino Institute, and whenever they needed a little rest or relaxation, they would head into the town, go to the gas station and the carnival and all the other stuff of Chester and Hester's and get something to eat. So it was basically a mutual relationship out in the desert back in the 1940s. So very cool to learn something new. So we'll post a copy of the scavenger hunt for people who want to take a look at what we went through.
It's awesome stuff. Yeah, I love
it. It's pretty fun.
Love every bit of it. Thank you.
Sure. Yeah, I think I speak for all of us when we say thank you, Ed, for putting the scavenger hunt together every year.
Oh, yeah, no, it's fun to do. Like I said, I learned so much myself. It's great. Now, not saying that I wouldn't like someone else to do a scavenger hunt someday that I can actually participate in. But, you know, we'll just have to see. The big discussion is going to be what to do next year. Parks being crowded. Are we going to do Disney Springs monorail hunt? I don't know. I don't know if I can trust the monorail, but
that's a tough one. Trust the monorail,
dude. We had one break right in front of us. Me and Lisa did on my last day there.
Yeah,
and we got to watch it. We were over at the boat dock waiting for a boat at Grand Floridian, and we got to watch the bring in the tow vehicle, the tow.
Oh, we saw that
from the.
We must have left at the same time, Jimmy, because I was walking under that to the Contemporary to get the car.
And
Monroe Yellow, right?
Yeah. And then just a couple days ago, I saw Chris Hiller was broke down, like, right in front of the Poly or somewhere.
Right.
And stuck, couldn't get off the monorail because it was broken. So, yeah, I wouldn't plan anything around a monorail.
Well, here's the other thing. Last week also, monorail Lime, I think it was, lost the door in transit.
Now that was because an ECV ran into the door.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, I didn't hear that either.
The whole door would come off, though.
Yeah, so it was more, it was more of a guest error than a malfunction in the monorail itself.
Yeah, but was it like a redneck
ECV? It was reverse and not forward.
Like a 50 engine in it or something? I mean, it shouldn't have knocked the door completely off.
Well, the door wasn't off. I think it was hanging.
Yeah, I mean, it was at the Grand Floridian. I mean, one thing you got to realize, and I just know this because when I travel with my mom, she's got the ECV. You know, they put the ramp down. And if you don't know what you're doing in the ECV to begin with, it's very easy to, like, hit that button or turn it or however you got to do to kind of make it start going. And it just kind of get out from under you and just go. Mm-hmm.
Or hit the ramp, the little edge on the ramp that's standing up there to keep you on it. A lot of times
you just go off.
They cut the corner and they bounce on top of that and come up on it. Seeing the people load up on the buses all the time is kind of a different experience. You see the good drivers and you see the bad drivers, just like everywhere. Quinn made a good point, though, because he's like, if you see the ECV on the bus line, you don't have to run. At least you know you have a couple extra minutes to get there.
Good point. My vote, Ed, for scavenger hunt for next year would be Epcot Future World.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that. I like to get back to Epcot. Might be good enough to maybe even get back to Hollywood Studios, but again, with Star Wars and everything else going on, maybe it might not be. But yeah.
We won't have Guardians yet.
As busy as Epcot is during Food and Wine when we're there, Future World typically isn't that busy.
That's true.
I agree. We'll have to see. Trying to think of anything else that really stuck out on this trip. If you remember, this was the first trip in a long time that I exclusively used the buses from Disney World, from the airport back to the airport. Seemed to go pretty well. For the most part, we weren't waiting that long for buses. Maybe once or twice we really got kind of screwed over where there's a lot of other buses just passing us by.
It's not a trip if you don't get screwed by a bus.
Yeah, I know. I guess the hardest bus was the Disney Springs from Animal Kingdom. It starts at 4 o'clock, which I never knew that. So from 4 o'clock till closing, they have a bus that goes to Disney Springs from the park. And it just seemed to, like, never get there, even though we were assured that it would. And it finally did. But other than that.
I didn't have a lot of great luck with buses. I didn't have terrible luck. I guess I was kind of like you, kind of in between. But, you know, talking to my friends Ian and Michelle, they said every time they walked to go to a park, they walked out front in the bus. They walked right on buses the whole time. So I think it's just a little bit of luck.
Sure. We did stand a lot, though, this trip. That's for sure. A lot of people.
Did you use the app?
I'm sorry?
Did you use the app a lot, the Disney app? Because I know I was talking to Lisa once, and Lisa's like, yeah, the bus is going to be here in 20 minutes. I'm just waiting a few more minutes in the room before we walk out.
Yeah, you know, we did, and for the most part. The app,
which makes it kind of nice.
And for the most part, it was right. Once in a while, it was not. But, yeah, for the most part, it was pretty right on. The only time we didn't use the bus was from Yeehaw Bob's over at the Riverside. We took a Uber or a Lyft. I forget which. Back to the hotel.
To get to it or to come home from?
To get back to it. We went there from one of the parks, so it was kind of easy enough to get there. But, yeah, getting back, so that was around, I guess, 11:30, and it was $7 from there to the Pop Century. That was great.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Tough to beat that.
Nope.
Now, my trip extended through Monday, and I will say that I was in Epcot the last day of Food and Wine, and it was a holiday, and it was dead.
Really?
Yeah,
I thought for certain it was going to be packed. And the only line that you couldn't walk up that didn't have a few people waiting was the line in Italy.
Yeah, so Italy was surprisingly good this year. And I'm really not a big Italian fan, believe it or not, food fan. I get enough of that at home to begin with. But I was really surprised with that one. And to that fact, Lisa, 2 years, 3 years ago, I was there for the last day of Food and Wine also. And yeah, it was empty. It was like people just forget about it on Sunday. Saturday night's the real end to it. And based on this past trip, it's the end about 8 or 9 o'clock at night.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Now, did anybody get to do any firsts this trip?
First time putting my bag onto the plane from the hotel. We checked it at the hotel before leaving the pop, which was pretty cool. And I was really surprised that I actually found it again in Philadelphia when we got off our plane. happy and surprised.
Morgan did a Spice Road table, which I'd never been there before.
Nice.
Food was really, really good.
Oh, that's awesome.
I think it's a great illumination spot that's usually available. Inside or outside.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's now one of my top two favorite restaurants in Epcot.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it was really good.
They need to cut down a couple of trees, and it would be a perfect spot for illuminations. That island has a couple of trees that block things, but hey, it is what it is.
My face would be in the food. I wouldn't see illuminations. Now, that actually wasn't the only first that I got to do. I got to do Artist Point with Lisa and Angela on Wednesday night, which, of course, we did it before it got switched over to the Snow White character dining.
Yeah, it was already under construction by the end of our trip.
Oh, wow. Yep.
But that food was awesome, so I'm glad that I got to do it before it went away. I also got to see Rivers of Light on Saturday, which I had never seen since Saturday.
Oh, and you were able to confirm something for us, too. They were taking the actors out of that show, and we were bumming and wondering why, because they were actually a good part of it, and you confirmed that they are definitely gone, right?
Yes, there were no actors, and I had a front row seat, so I can totally confirm there were no actors.
Right. And actually, only seeing the show once, I don't have a lot to go on here, but they were a big part of it. They were walking through the crowd, making you wondering what was going on. And they were, I guess they weren't talking to you, but they were trying to like mime out what they were or who they were. And then they were doing all that dancing and acting on the boats too.
Hmm.
Oh, well.
And of course, since I have only seen it online with the actors, I don't know how much of a difference it made to me since I hadn't seen it before. But I still thought it was a great show. I know Jimmy doesn't like it, but I liked it. It was my mom's first time seeing it. She loved it.
I like the next one better.
I don't hate it. I just think it's the, out of all the Epcot nighttime, I mean, all the Disney nighttime shows, I think it's just on the bottom of the list.
Unless they're shooting fireworks at you.
Unless they're going to shoot fireworks. Hell, I wish they didn't like the fireworks.
Yeah, no, I thought it was not a bad show. It's not going to be the top of my list for a nighttime event down the road. However, I do want to go back and watch it from the Flame Tree Barbecue eating area down there on the water and see it from the backside. I think that would be pretty cool, too.
Want to see the backside of water?
Yes, because you would see a lot of the backside of the water with all the fountains and stuff like that. That would be fun.
I don't know how early you need to get down there to get that spot. Because I know what you're talking about. There's some spots right down along.
Is it always full? I don't know if people would know about it.
Yeah, I agree.
But we can't talk too much more until we find out. So, shh.
What seating? I don't know what you're talking about. There's no seating at Flame Tree.
And I tell you what, we met at the Flame Tree for the beginning of the scavenger hunt. It was pretty cool, and that worked out perfectly. If you want to get yourselves together at Animal Kingdom and maybe have that family meet to get everything organized, before 11 o'clock, there's some really wide open spaces in the Flame Tree area. And we saw the rope drop for the Flame Tree opening up, which was pretty novel.
There was a nice line of people waiting for that place to open for lunch.
Who would have thought?
Right.
Hey, no, I tell you, it is really good food, so I'm not faulting it. We ate there the day before. But yeah, it was pretty cool. One last thing about the scavenger hunt before we get off of it. The team that won this year was Team Belliard with 71 points, and they beat the next place team by a couple points, and they did really, really well. So congratulations, guys. I hope to see you next year.
And that was their first scavenger hunt, I believe.
Yep. They did very well.
Another first for me, my last day, which was the day I was flying out, I was lucky enough to have a late flight, so we went with Lisa and Angela, went and brought around and did some resort hopping and got to see, I'd never been to the Wilderness Lodge. And so we went over there and walked around, and also got to go see the train room over there, which I thought was pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can get lost in that place over there.
So now, when you go in to see the train room, you're going into the DVC building. What did you think of that lobby when you walked in there?
It's pretty beautiful.
It's all wood, all like incredibly like Northwestern looking.
And that day, you know, it started to, that day was a little bit cooler out. So they had the they may have the fireplace going all the time, but they get the big leather couches and the chairs with the fireplace going, and everything's wood, and it was pretty amazing.
For those that don't know, the train room is over at Wilderness Lodge, over at that DVC part, like we're saying, and it's basically a side room that's meant to be lounged in. You go in there with a book, you go and hang out, but what's really cool is there's a lot of pictures on the walls of Walt Disney and his big love of trains. And there's also a couple trains from his actual railroad that he had in the backyard in California.
It's pretty cool. Made me want to go buy like a train.
And for me, a couple of firsts. I had never done the Swiss Family Robinson treehouse.
Oh, nice.
So we. Tired? What was that?
Did it make you tired?
No, I found that it is best to go when there's a little bit of a line and I don't need to rush up and rush down.
That's actually a good point. If there's a little bit of a line, you don't feel the need to have to move so quickly up the stairs.
Yeah, it was perfect. I wasn't standing there waiting and bored, but we were moving at a slow enough clip that I wasn't dying by the time I got to the top. But it is really pretty up top there. And we went right at sunset.
Oh, nice. So
some good really views. Nice pictures.
Definitely good views up there.
And I also, for the first time, experienced Christmas in Hollywood Studios. And now, I say for the first time, but we went down 3 years ago in December for like 2 days and saw the Osborne lights. But the new setup, Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam, and Sunset Season's Greetings, and the stuff in Toy Story Land, and the big Christmas tree, those things we were able to experience.
Oh, yeah. It's very, very fun. Very holiday-ish. Woody's actually giving you a holiday greeting over at Toy Story Land.
Yeah. So that's the Christmas overlay back in Toy Story Land, which is one of my firsts this time, right? Because it's the first time it was there. A lot of people, you know, you kind of listen to people coming back and like, oh, wow, look at all the Christmas lights. And I'm like, well, that's always there, right? That's not part of the theme.
Oh, right.
But there was, you know, Woody's talking with, has some Christmas sayings. And, of course, there's Christmas music for the alien spinning saucers. And it was cool to have a little Christmas vibe back there in Toy Story Land.
The Army men come out and do their performance, if you will, and they're wrapped up in scarves and Christmas hats.
That's so it's cool. That and between that and Sunset Season's Greetings, that's pretty darn cool.
Oh, that was fabulous. And you can tell that they're really trying to capture the essence of the Osborne lights.
Yeah.
With the Snope and the lasers. But
Snope.
Stop eating the soap. I mean Snope.
Oh, that's horrible.
Stop trying to catch that.
We were also a cast members first when we took the group photo for the for the scavenger hunt. She's like, "Yep, this is the biggest group I've taken a picture of."
She count 47 or 50 or I forget. Yeah, it was a lot
like that. Yeah,
very cool.
She was excited.
Yeah, we got a group coming over. Is that okay? And then everybody just started walking over.
Yeah, she didn't. I don't think she was thinking that type of group.
No, and I know she wasn't.
And
but it was only a couple of pictures, so the people that were like, oh, my God, we're supposed to be next. It was just a couple of pictures. It was just a lot of people in it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I do want to say when Sam's talking about people seeing the Christmas lights in Toy Story Land, I didn't get my mom over to Toy Story Land this trip just because she's not a pass holder. We had to kind of be a little careful about where, you know, she went. But I showed her pictures online of the Christmas decoration in Toy Story Land, and she said the same thing. Oh, look at those Christmas lights. And I'm like, no, Mom, those are always there. Those are always there.
But I guess it's okay if you've never been in there and you think that's part of it. Good for you. I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah, you'll be going back in the summer thinking they left the Christmas lights up.
Exactly. Oh, they like them so much they left them up.
Yeah, very cool. Okay, guys. Well, I tell you what, that's it for tonight. That was a little bit of reminiscing. Kind of really does want to make you start planning for that next trip, though.
I think we'll be having the dates for those out and not too long for the next meetups.
Excellent.
So we can add that all to our countdowns.
Put it on the countdown. Get the I'm working on getting some group room quotes ready for us, and then moving to the next step.
Yep. Okay, guys, so that's it for this week for show number 263. Let us know what you think. Have you just been back to Disney World? Are you going anytime soon? Let us know. We're always looking for stories from the parks. Jimmy, how can everybody get in touch with the show?
You can email us at questions@thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds. Instagram @thedisneynerdspodcast and Twitter @thedisneynerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.thedisneynerdspodcast.com, and watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
Okay, guys, so that's it for show number 263. For Sam, Lisa, Morgan, Jimmy, this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Guaharini.
So long, everybody.
Have a magical night. Hakuna Matata.
Kongaloosh.
Sivako.
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 Nice. If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So